Deer Trucking Awesome. What do you think of when someone says tough? Honestly, I think of a Toyota truck. Tundra's one mean mother of a truck with a twin-turbo V6, an incredible going power, and the Tacoma claws through terrain with a taller suspension and lots of creature comforts in the cockpit. Both Toyota trucks are decked out with tons of cool features and tech you'll dig. Check them out at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, guys, at Green Mountain Dental Group, look, we all hate going to the dentist, but you might as well walk out of there with a free Sonicare toothbrush. That's what you get at Green Mountain Dental Group. You guys can schedule a cleaning x-ray and exam and walk out of there with a free Sonicare toothbrush. Sonicare, an awesome brand, top-of-the-line electric toothbrush will lead to healthier teeth and less visits to the dentist in the long run. So check out Green Mountain Dental Group today. They're located just 15 minutes from downtown Denver. They're awesome people. They're Denver through and through, just like us. Check them out today. Schedule a cleaning x-ray and exam. Get a free Sonicare toothbrush.
What is up, everybody? And welcome to the DNBR Nuggets podcast. I'm your host, Adam Manez. I'm joined by a motley crew of all-stars here. A man with a new residence. It's Harrison Wind.
Good to be back with you guys. I missed the DNBA show Friday.
Yeah.
I hated that.
It was a really good one, too.
That killed me. That crushed
something
me.
Something about it. The energy was just
many
great.
Many people were saying it was some Ewing theory. It's really weird, you know.
Chemistry did feel good, I have to say.
Harrison's over here just doing like, you sons of bitches. No, we missed you, H-Dub.
Yeah.
We missed you.
No, yeah. It's good to be back, though. It's good to be back.
So, and then I'm also joined by Brendan Vogt.
Yeah, don't forget about me. Same residence, though. No same big residence. News over here.
So, I got to ask, so a new residence, this is now your third place.
Third place in 3 years. I'm like Paul George.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus, that's really bad. We need a good, like, pun, a way off key for Harrison. So, how is it, man? Like, I got to say, I don't know if we want to say, like, exactly where you are. I don't know how, like, protective you want to be of your residence or what have you, but RK, who, if you don't know, one of the partners at DNVR and runs the Broncos side of things, he lives very, very close, walkable distance to the DNVR bar, and I think it is the smartest move anybody could have possibly ever made. I mean, that guy, the bar is basically his basement. I think, why didn't you do that, Harrison? I feel like you really missed an opportunity here.
Wow, just coming in full throttle here.
Coming in hot.
I'd say, okay, so here's why we moved out of, like, the Highlands area, which we lived before. I love the Highlands, great area, tons of bars, tons of restaurants, super walkable. It was super noisy, though.
Really?
Like, it was so noisy. I lived right next to this basketball court. When we moved in there, I was like, okay, people probably, you know, get up some shots, get some 5-on-5 and on the weekends, you know, maybe Friday night, Friday morning, every day, 7 a.m., there's a ball bouncing out there. Like, Jesus, I didn't know this city loved basketball this much.
That is actually really annoying, man, a basketball at 7 in the morning.
So we wanted someplace a little quiet. I don't know
Harrison,
how quiet
Harrison moved
Colfax
because
is.
Of because he doesn't love basketball enough. This is wow.
Ball very, is not life.
Really, really fascinating.
Is it the parabola court in Highlands?
Dude,
the one that
court is so lame. Yes. Yeah,
it's not even a straight court.
It's the weirdest court I've ever seen in my life.
The Nuggets it's held an event out there one time. Were you there for that when they held like a rally or something out there? Oh yeah, they held like a real hype.
No, it was not.
All right. Well, in today's show, guys, we have a little bit to talk about. We kind of teased this because it was like breaking news last Friday when we did the DNBA show on Friday. But the NBA appears to be headed for a Christmas Open. Actually, maybe before Christmas, December 22nd, I think we can actually call this a Solstice Open, which I'm very excited. We need to get Ariana Lenarski on here, our resident witch, to explain to us if this is a good or bad omen for the Nuggets that it would start on the Solstice. But so a December 22nd start, and it sounds like from everything I'm hearing, and when I say what I'm hearing, like podcasts that I'm listening to, not like I haven't hit up Tim Conley to ask him for the inside info on the start date just yet. But it does sound like December 22nd is almost more likely than not at this point. I mean, do you guys feel the same way? Or are you still kind of trying to read the tea leaves on this?
I feel the same way. That definitely seems like the direction we're heading. I don't know how much you guys talked about this on Friday. I'm sure you touched on it.
I'm sure you listened. So I know that you did. So you know as well as we do.
I just have to give my take. My overall take on this is that the NBA is going to try to cram this next season in. It's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be beautiful. It's going to be rushed. But the owners probably looked at themselves and said, even if we wait until March, April, who knows if we're going to be able to get fans in there. Let's just get the season in. Let's get it over with. Let's get back on schedule. So I do think there's the momentum you think you're hearing. It's totally real for a December 22nd Christmas start.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't think – there just seems to be so much indecision around everything that they've had to sort of decide going all the way back to the planning of the bubble that it's hard to think there's any sort of consensus, but it does seem like there's momentum in that direction. And it just makes the most sense. I mean, why, if you have an opportunity, I think, to wrap next season up by the normal conclusion,
right.
The time of the calendar year, you can essentially contain this damage.
Right.
And you buy yourself more time for a normal fans in-house 82 game season the following year.
And I think that's exactly what's happening right now is they're looking at this next season and saying it's probably going to be similar to this last one and that it's not going to be normal. And so if it's not going to be normal, what's the point of pushing everything back and continuing to sort of push everything back, including next season? So 72 games, it looks like, starting on December 22nd and getting 72 games in. First of all, there's a couple things here. So I'm going to set the table by what this means implications-wise. 72 games, probably trying to wrap up by the end of June. It sounds like that's still the plan. Maybe they go just a pinch late. But you're cutting off 10 games, and you're cutting off 2 months. So you're actually going to have to, in addition to, you know, losing a few games, you're going to have to be playing more frequently. It sounds like there might not be an all-star game. There might not be an all-star weekend. That's one of the casualties that could come out of this. Players are going to lose. I believe this is, 12% of their there's 12% fewer games. So there's going to be 12% revenues cut. So it's going to have a financial implication for players, obviously, with the salary cap, although it sounds like with the salary cap, they're just going to they're going to act like the salary cap is normal, but then just reduce everybody's salary from that. So teams will still be able to sign contracts as if there was no change, and then all the contracts get reduced by whatever percentage. And then the other thing is this free agency period and this offseason is just going to be so incredibly short. So with those implications in mind, I think we should talk about whether this is favorable or not favorable for Denver. And I'm going to start here. Denver, we don't know what their free agency period looks like, but we believe that they're going to retain a lot of their players. Maybe they make a big move, but Jokic is going to be here. Murray's going to be here. Most of the rest of the pieces are probably going to be in Denver. So Denver, I think, will have more continuity than the average team. And my first thought here, Vogt, is I think that Denver has an advantage just from that. They're not going to be one of these teams that has a major new piece to kind of work in, most likely.
Yeah, if it's an unconventional season, then you want to have the least sort of questions that you have to answer across the regular season. And, you know, for Denver, we've said it so many times, I think you really want to limit this to what do the kids look like? And so if you bring everyone back, it's really what, like the fourth, fifth year in a row where they're going to feel like they're in that position.
Yep.
And then just, especially if they can retain Grant, who was really the big transition this past season, you'd feel that much more comfortable. And then also the standpoint of motivation. I mean, this is a team that feels like they were that close and not like
this was our fifth try at this. This isn't going to work. We got to change up the front office and the coach. Right. Like, no, they're just getting started. So in theory, guys like Jamal Murray are champing at the bit here to get going.
What do you think, Wynn?
No, yeah, I think in those aspects, it definitely works in the Nuggets' favor. I do wonder, though, how many changes there are going to be throughout the entire league. Like, yes, the Nuggets, right. we think they're going to bring a lot of these guys back. I think most teams are going to bring their core back. I just think with the uncertainty, with the salary cap, with the weird offseason, If I'm a team, I'm thinking continuity is going to be my best friend heading into next season. Like, if I'm the Clippers, I know I need to make some moves, but
I still feel like the Clippers might do something crazy, man. I hear what you're saying, and it makes logical sense, but, man, all the reports seem like Ballmer is, like, pissed. Not just like, disappointed, but like, Ballmer doesn't believe in his team anymore. And so I feel like – I don't know, man. So I think they might make some changes.
But it even seems like the Rockets are talking like they're going to be running it back.
Right.
So I think we're going to see a lot of continuity. Yes, that's going to help the Nuggets. The youth thing, Nuggets have a very young team, again. So I think that's going to help as well. But I do think it hurts the Nuggets in one aspect, and that's that I don't know if any team had a more emotional playoff run than Denver. And just how taxing that was physically and emotionally. And look, I don't know. I can't peer into Nikola Jokic's mind. Yeah. I bet he would love a couple more months off. I mean, the guy just got married. Like, with how taxing that playoff run was, I'm not sure how excited those guys will be to get back at it here in the month. In a month. Like, I know they're going to be chomping at the bit, but this is a quick turnaround for a team that went through so much.
That's exactly it, though, man. Like, the emotional part of it. And I think there's guys on this team, Michael Porter, Jamal Murray. And I'm not saying Jokic doesn't love basketball. I think he does. I just think he, like, likes it within the context of life. And I do think, you know, and sort of the ebbs and flows of the season. But I do think there are some players that are going to be like, hey, that's cool. We're back at basketball. I miss basketball. I'm ready to go. And there's going to be players that are like, yo, like, I never get to go home to Serbia. I never get to be here around my horses. And, you know, Jokic had a busy summer, as we're going to talk about in the third segment. He got married this summer. I'm sure he would have loved a little bit of an extended stay at home this season more than any other one. Again, remember, all these other dudes got to go home. Monte Morris got to go home. Michael Porter got to go home during quarantine. Jokic didn't. He had to stay in Denver. He went home to see Dejan Milojevic's thing. That was his only chance. So I think he especially is sort of a guy that will sort of – I'm sure sees this as a huge drag and maybe just sort of mentally takes a little bit out of him. The flip side of that, though, Jokic gains a little weight every offseason. There's not nearly as much time for him to do that. Maybe he was past the stage anyway. Maybe that was I kind of feel like maybe he was growing out of that. But let's be honest, guys. I don't know how much body transformation you can have in this offseason, both good or bad, because there's not gonna be that much time.
So less time for the wheels to fall off the wagon. And within that time, he got married, which I also was thinking about it this morning. Like, he lost so much weight across the regular season. Like, whatever that little bit of water weight he lost in those few weeks there, and we all flipped out. Like, he just was getting married. It's just hilarious how much I put into that. Like, is he ready for this? Is he starting his Tim Duncan, you know, phase as a leader? It's like, nah, dude, he was getting married.
You think it's as simple as that?
Yeah, and I think he sharpened up for the suit and the pictures.
Do you think so, Harrison? Is this your theory as well?
Yeah, I think it's a nice little coincidence, but I don't think it's the main pillar of the theory.
I hope not, but I'm gonna get that joke off.
I honestly, a lot of people think that. I think our friend Jenna Garcia was like really hammering this one home when the weight loss started. It was like, hey, and she might be right. So who knows? I did not really lose any weight when I got married, although I didn't really have to lose any weight. But I didn't, I didn't buff up for it or anything. Yeah, weird flex. So other things that are happening here, I think with free agency, I expect free agency to happen. It kind of sucks because I already have like a cabin rented and everything for Thanksgiving getaway. I think Thanksgiving this year is going to be free agency. We're going to go, the 18th is the draft. Yeah. Usually it's like a week or two behind that. We don't know quite yet, but I'm guessing it's going to be that window. And one, that sucks for us because that means we're going to be working over the holidays. But two, it also is just so quick. I mean, we're going to go, this is the other thing, is teams won't necessarily know who's coming into camp until the week of camp. I mean, literally that's how it's going to go down. Week or maybe 2 weeks before camp, you're going to be like, oh, this is our roster. I just feel like that makes for all teams. And I don't know how this affects Denver any differently, but I just feel like for all teams, that's going to make things a little tough. You don't know who's coming. We don't know if Torrey Craig or Paul Millsap or Mason Plumlee, you know, any of those guys are coming in. I feel like that's a pretty huge wrench in this season.
Well, think about if you're a draft pick. You get drafted on November 18th. You probably don't walk into the facility for the first time until the first day of training camp.
Wow, you're right.
I think I said this on a show last week, but this year might be a total wash for rookies, for a lot of rookies, right, who need like that developmental track. There's going to be no Vegas Summer League, of course. Big right. downer there for us. but also for this incoming draft class. Yeah. And I mean, if you have the number 22 pick and you're the Nuggets, I mean, like if I'm thinking about taking a draft and stash guy, this is the year to do it. I mean, this is the year to do it for sure. So for free agents, for rookies, it's going to be tough to get up to speed and get on the same page with everybody. All you've gotten is a training camp. Like a lot of people don't understand this, but during summers, like, the open gym thing at a team facility is a real thing, especially for a team like the Nuggets, who have a group that's in Denver a lot, who are playing pickup all summer. That they've had continuity, but that has been a big reason why they've gotten off to great starts too, because they're pretty much having a training camp with 5-on-5 runs 2, 3, 4 weeks before training camp actually starts. That's not going to be the case for any team this year.
And then, you know, the elephant in the room sort of factor here is we're out of the bubble now. So do any of these teams' facilities close? You know what
right.
I mean?
Oh, man.
I would wager there's at least one organization that doesn't even get this time that we're mentioning here. So I wonder.
This is a great point, though. I want to keep on this one, though, Vote, because one factor we haven't talked about, I don't think, this entire offseason yet is just – we talk about, can Denver get off to a good start, continuity, this or that. They come in with a bunch of guys out because of COVID, like they did for the Orlando bubble. Then it's all throw everything else out the window. I mean, then you get off to a slow start. And I don't know how it works that Denver had so many guys, presumably, that had COVID and had to miss, if maybe they're less likely now to get it or what. I don't know. But I do think that that's one thing we haven't really talked about. If Denver doesn't have all their guys when they start camp, slow start. I'm sorry. It's just going to happen. Mm-hmm.
As long as two of those guys are Bowl and MPJ, like if we learned anything from those bubble seeding games, that's fine.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Bowl and MPJ, why don't we take our first break, because they, I think, deserve their own segment. Or then we'll talk about some other guys as well. But I want to talk about individual players and how this affects them. And those two guys are obviously at the top of the list for that. So let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about them. But first,
if you guys are going to pick up some Breck Brews this week, check out the Palisade Peach. At the top of my Breck Brew power rankings right now is the Palisade Peach. It's an awesome choice from Breck Brew. Goes down smooth. You can drink a lot of them. Perfect for like an NFL Sunday. So if you don't know where to get Breck Brew, check out the Breck Brew Beer Locator on their website. Pick up some Palisade Peach this week. Also, sign up for WGT, guys. We had a tournament this last weekend. Tons of fun. Sometimes we give out cash prizes, $200, $100, DMVR swag. And you can get that by just winning a little golf tournament on WGT. So download WGT World Golf Tour from dmvrgolf.com and then search for the DMVR 3 Country Club. That way you'll automatically be entered into all of our tournaments on the weekends, and you can beat up on me, Adam, Vote in WGT. And when you're not playing in our tournaments, you can play against 20 million people online. So check it out, World Golf Tour WGT. Download it from dmvrgolf.com and then search for the DMVR 3 Country Club.
Back here on the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and we are talking about the implications of a December 22nd start, a winter solstice start. Many people are calling it that. I'm calling it that. And we are going to now talk about Bol Bol and Michael Porter Jr., because you mentioned rookies. And if you're drafted on November 18th and you go into camp on December 5th, like, yeah, those rookies have no shot, man. I mean, unless you're awesome, which it doesn't sound like any of the rookies in this class are awesome. By the way, also, let's talk about the fact that rookies haven't been playing either. I mean, there's been no NCAA. They're having just the least optimal entrance into the NBA possible. But Bol Bol is also a rookie next year, and he has been with the team for a whole season. But it was very clear that he needed an offseason of working on his body and just cleaning some things up. And, you know, and he isn't going to get a full offseason. He's only going to get a couple months of that. So, Harrison, I'll start with you. Do you think how do you think this affects Bol Bol's ability to become an impact player for Denver next year, meaning a rotation player for him?
Yeah, well, it hurts him in the respect that there's going to be, like, no regular offseason. No regular off-season OTAs, like, to steal a term from the NFL teams. No open gyms during the summer.
Right.
That's going to hurt him for sure. But the other side of the coin is that, you know, heading into next season, he's got a chance to, you know, to be an impact guy because the Nuggets, you know, when you probably start next season, like, who knows what, I mean, the roster is going to look like. I don't know how many minutes you're going to be wanting to give, like, your top guys on opening night. I think he's going to have a chance to do some things just from the onset of the regular season because you're going to want to bring guys along slowly. But, look, a big offseason for any NBA player is the offseason between your rookie year and your second season. And I know Bol's going to be a rookie, but, you know, this was going to be like his first real offseason in the NBA. So I think he loses out a lot. I think he loses out a lot for that, for sure. And just not having that connectivity with the coaching staff, I think, is a big thing as well, because that's going to be something that kind of just determines how much Bol plays next year. I think, knowing Michael Malone, it's going to be how much does he trust Bol. And just not, you know, seeing him the whole summer – I know they're obviously in communication, but just not having that, you know, physical, like just that interaction with each other, I feel like that hurts too.
Yeah. Do you think, Vogt, that the Nuggets maybe plan their offseason differently? I mean, if this was a 4-month offseason, do you think the front office looks at this and goes, okay, let's make sure there's room for Bol? And maybe now that there's a 2-month offseason, people go, the front office goes, we can't count on him. We need to have come up with, if he breaks into the rotation, so be it, but we have to count on him not being a piece of it.
Yes. Yeah, that makes sense to me from a sort of philosophical standpoint. But I also wonder if there is a scenario in place where you have this shortened season. We just mentioned this in the last segment. What if there are more back-to-backs? What if there's more, this guy's great not point. In as good shape, or we don't know who's reporting to camp because of the pandemic. So in theory, there are more avenues to actually more playing time.
I love this take. It's a great take.
Which could matter, you know, more obviously than all this offseason stuff, as important as it is. So, you know, we're going to talk about MPJ. I'm sure this applies to both Bol and MPJ. Shortened offseason, but it's also less time in between the last time they were actually in the gym and with the coach. It's a quick turnaround. And so, as last we saw them, they were in this mode. They were in this mindset. They were in the bubble with the team. And then they're going to get right back out on the floor. So maybe there's something beneficial to that from a focus standpoint and just sort of staying in tune with the team.
I love the point, though, about – if you guys remember, I don't remember if it was 2011 was the last lockout where they had to do back-to-back-to-backs, the 3 games in a row. And it was just like, I don't know if the NBA is going to have back-to-back-to-backs. Like, think about how absurd that is. That was only a decade ago. It feels like something from the 50s. When you hear the stories of Wilt Chamberlain, he had to walk 14 miles to the arena and then he played a back-to-back-to-back. If Denver played a team and it was their 3rd game and the other team was like, had a game off or something, it's almost impossible to imagine a team winning a game on a back-to-back-to-back. So if they
know, it's also going to be, it's also going to potentially be sometimes where it's like 3 games in 5 nights against the same opponent, because they could be like a regional aspect of this team too, where the Nuggets just like fly into LA and play the Lakers 3 times in 5 days.
Right. It's going to be so weird. This next season is going to be even more of a, like, I actually feel like this next season might be more weird than this one, in part because if there's no bubble, players are going to get COVID. Like
100%.
Zero COVID cases amongst players once inside the bubble. That's like unbelievable. But I do like the point. So, okay, let's factor in the fact that there's a COVID risk for players. Maybe some Nuggets throughout the season will get COVID. Let's factor in the back-to-backs and threes and fives and maybe back-to-back-to-back games. I think that depth becomes a part of the game plan for a team like Denver. Actually, for all teams, but I think it's a team like Denver is as a chance to really say, okay, we roll 12 deep, and we're just going to have a strategy where when we go and have to play these three games in four nights or whatever, we have a plan in place that these guys sit one of those, these guys play one of them, and there's opportunity. So I, you know what? You've talked me into it. Well, I came fully prepared into this podcast thinking that he would not play and vote. You've persuaded me. I now think he is going to play because of that very, very thing. I just think he might not be as good as he would have
been. Three cheers for the global pandemic.
Three cheers. The other player is Michael Porter. And I got to say, guys, we're going to talk a little bit more about Michael Porter, maybe some of the negatives here in the next segment. But I got to say, I'm happy that he is with Torrey Craig. It seems, I think he was with Monte earlier, but he's just back in the gym and training and working it. And I know it's been a month or whatever, but not every player is back that quickly. It really feels like Michael Porter didn't take any time off. He went straight into preparing for this next season. That being said, it is going to be a short one for him as well. And we felt like he had a lot of work to do. I'll start with you this time, Vogt. Do you feel like he gets a boost or sort of weighed down by the shortened offseason?
Boost. I think MPJ is in a better place to sort of absorb and get better in the ways that are most important to him, I think, going forward when he's with the team, when he's with the coaches. I think he's in the gym. There's no doubt about it. Right. This dude loves hoops, but I also am not worried about that jumper and those reps. You know what I mean? Like team right. defense, watching film, getting stronger, lower body strength. These are things that are easier for younger guys to improve on when they're with the organization.
Body looks good, agree. Doesn't it, Wynn? Some of the pictures we've seen, he's looking good.
He looks great. Body looks great. Jumper looks great.
Jumper looks great. Everybody's jumper looks great in training.
There's a hint of sarcasm.
I'm waiting for the guy that posts the video of him just bricking jumpers in a gym with his trainer.
The best one, did you see the one Andre Drummond put out the other day? Where he's like, he's going through like a pick and roll at the top of the key, dishes the ball off to the corner, like runs off a screen, circles under the hoop, out to the opposite corner, gets the pass and knocks down the three.
That's his game.
It was like they ran a 5-on-0 set just for the Instagram video. It was incredible.
It was so choreographed. It was unbelievable.
It's like three screens, a couple off-ball cuts, DHO.
Andre Drummond should have been better, man. That guy like is so athletic, so skilled, so talented, and so terrible.
Yeah. So I'm with Vogt. I think this helps MPJ. MPJ is just – he's one of those guys who's just addicted to basketball.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
The guy can't go half a day without being in the gym. So you know he's been in there nonstop. And I just have this sneaking suspicion that when we start up again – this regular season is going to be all about offense. I just think it is. And I can just totally envision a scenario where MPJ, Jamal Murray, Yoke, these guys are just crushing defenses when this regular season tips off. Like these guys are going to be raring to go, especially Jamal Murray and MPJ. So I think this bodes well for MPJ. He's going to be in the gym nonstop here. COVID's not going to keep him out of the gym.
Now, what about this, though? Because he does have, obviously, the injury history, and does playing 72 games in such a condensed schedule, how does that affect him? Do the Nuggets need to go into the season with a real game plan to say, okay, there's 72 games, assuming he doesn't get hurt, he's only going to play in 52 of those, and Jokic is only going to play in 55 of those. And do you think there's something like that in the works, or – I mean, I could see it.
I think they'd be smart. Yeah, I think they'd be smart to put something like that in the works. Same with Bull, too. I mean, you don't want to be playing Bull 25 minutes a game this year. You just don't. A big with his injury, with his previous foot injury, you don't want to be trying that guy out there every night for 25 minutes a game. You don't. Right. So that's going to be a very detailed thing teams are going to have to navigate this season for sure. And MPJ, Bull, I mean, I'm just envisioning the Nuggets are going to take another guy in the draft with sketchy injury history, knowing them. So they'll have to, like, plan accordingly for sure.
You know how crazy this draft is going to be next year? Not this one, but the next one, because it was always supposed to be the great draft, right? There's a bunch of really, really talented players coming in. Cade Cunningham, I think – at the top of that list, but just a bunch of really high profile guys. Jalen Green. So there's a lot of really good players. Plus, this draft might really be the year of draft and stash, where a lot of those rookies don't play their regular minutes, so that they come in next year as sophomores, but they're really underclassmen. I think we might have just like a crazy the next couple seasons. The ripple effects of this COVID year is just like they're going to be felt for 3 or 4 years in the NBA in a crazy way. You mentioned Jamal Murray. He obviously was the breakout player of the bubble, but vote. What do you think about this condensed schedule for him and the shortened offseason for him? Does it have any impact, or is he like in that sweet spot? Not too young, not too old.
I think he's probably in the sweet spot. The only thing is we almost don't talk about it enough, how much of the workload falls on his shoulders. And yes. It's not just like all the points and stuff, but it's just consistently like 40 plus minutes in these high leverage games.
Yeah.
And he's out there grinding, you know, in those Novembers when Jokic isn't or any of that. So his body could probably use a short rest, but I think he's young enough that, you know, I don't think it's going to hold him down.
Except for, we don't talk about this thing, but he gets hurt every year. And he always bounces back. But even if you talk about that Lakers series, I mean, he clearly wasn't 100%. And so you condense a season, you know, I do worry a little bit about him as well. Just like I worried about Gary, you don't want guys to start getting hurt. And then that affects sort of their trajectory. So I think there's that. I do also want to talk about this though. I think the Nuggets have a great chance at getting the one seed. I wonder how aggressive teams are going to be going for that in this weird season. But I just feel like Denver has a great chance to have the best record in the regular season next year. As good a chance as anybody. Do you feel that way, Wind?
Totally. Totally. The continuity aspect, the motivational aspect that this group's going to have, just that's pure talent. But I honestly think like that's my number one question for Michael Malone and Tim Conley right now, if we had them on this podcast. It's, are you going to go for the one seed? Because it's something that we've never seen this front office and coaching staff really push for. Yes, they've always wanted home court advantage. Yes, they've wanted like their desired run throughout the Western Conference playoffs. But we've never seen them like go all out for the number one seed. And it's something Calvin Booth said right after the season.
Right.
Like, coming into next year,
he didn't know that it was going to be starting in December, but
sure. Yeah, he did say though, going into next year, we want to push for the one seed because we know if there had been home court advantage this past playoffs in the bubble, we wouldn't have had home court for the semifinals and Western Conference finals. So that's going to be fascinating because it's just something we haven't seen this team do before.
Last guy I want to talk about, the old guy, Paul Millsap. We don't know if he's going to be back or not, but let's assume he is, because I kind of feel like he is going to be back. But, you know, he's the guy that could have probably used the offseason the most. I mean, the older you get, the more you need this. Does this sort of change his – or do you think Denver maybe gives him a month off? I mean, maybe that's one of the luxuries of Denver. They're like, all right, for you, season starts on January 15th, Paul.
Yeah, I also wonder – like, I say this sort of jokingly, and it's a little dark, but – man, those months he missed during that regular season, like Paul Millsap was still playing good basketball before the break,
right?
Before the hiatus, and I just wonder, like honestly, how many more months he has left, whether he's fresh or not. You know what I mean? And it sounds a little gloomy, but I do think he's at that stage in his career where maybe you want to get him back out there while there's still value.
I'm going to push back on this one thing because I see there's some funny storylines that have sort of like, I think, gone too far. One of them is that Jeremy Grant was incredible and the other that Paul Millsap was terrible. I don't think either of those things were true. Like, I think Jeremy Grant was good. And I think Paul Millsap was also good. Like, he got torched by Anthony Davis, but he also guarded Anthony Davis better than anybody else did on the Denver Nuggets roster. Maybe it's because my expectations had already lowered, like I was prematurely lowered, so he met those lowered expectations for me. But I don't know. I didn't feel like Paul Millsap was an anchor on this team by any means. I felt like he was a positive for the Nuggets.
Yeah, but I just feel like he very visibly had lost another step. Mm. And I'm as big on Paul Millsap in Denver as anyone, but I just think like the handle, I mean, like like the blown layups and stuff. Like, I mean, it just seems like he's really, really kind of over a certain hill.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break, then our last break, and then we come back. We're going to talk about Jokic's wedding. He's married now. And also Michael Porter Made it 6 years without getting in a car crash, guys. That's pretty good, right? We're going to talk about that on the other side as well.
All right, guys, at Green Mountain Dental Group right now, a bunch of us have gone there. Our sales director, Lindsay, just had her wisdom teeth out a few months back. Everybody who's gone has had a great experience. They're great people at Green Mountain Dental Group. They do great work. And if you sign up for a cleaning, x-ray, and exam, they will hook you up with a free Sonicare toothbrush today. They're located just 15 minutes from downtown Denver, so it's a quick trip. Hit up Green Mountain Dental Group today, schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam. You'll get a free Sonicare toothbrush. And also, at Strava Craft Coffee, you guys can subscribe and save 20% with a Strava Craft Coffee subscription. Just another company that is doing a subscription service. But join the Strava Craft Coffee community, just like you probably joined the DMVR community by now. And you guys can get 20% off any product you are subscribing to with Strava Craft Coffee. You can get your coffee delivered every 2, 3, 4, 6, or 8 weeks. And like I said, 20% off any product you are subscribing to. Check them out, StravaCraftCoffee.com.
And I ordered these like slippers today. Do you guys have slippers?
Yes.
Like warm slippers, like fuzzy. Yeah, you do? Are they the best?
It's a big time move,
really,
yeah, especially on days like today. Yeah.
If people that aren't in Colorado don't know, we got like our first big snowstorm. Isn't this our first one? This is our first one, right? Our first big snowstorm of the year. It's
October 26th.
Yeah, and it's you know, like everything in the house is cold. My feet are like freezing. And first thing I did when I woke up this morning is like, you know what? I'm buying these like furry, nice furry ones. I can't wait to get
it's a grown man decision.
A grown man move. I'm going to look ridiculous, but you know, I'm going to do them. So let's get to the bad stuff first, guys. We'll get to the good stuff later. And I don't even know if bad is the right word. We have to have some harsh truths here about our guy, Michael Porter, who I love. Really big fan, big believer in that guy. But He just does some weird stuff, man, usually on social media. And, you know, it started when he first arrived and he took that guy's shoes, that kid's shoes that he couldn't even wear. And it was just like, wow, that's a really weird thing. And it's continued. Now, some of this, I think he's gotten a bad rap. I've talked about this before. Some of the things he said, like, were they bad PR moves? Sure, but maybe got misinterpreted or this or that. But there's been more than enough, like, that have been properly zero questions asked, interpreted appropriately. And the latest one comes a snap that he posted over the weekend that says, oh, actually, I should probably pull this up so I can get it verbatim. I don't need to screw this up. He says, got in my first car crash today, ... Pretty good for being 22, if you ask me, LOL.
Now, LOL at the end.
This is the weirdest snap ever. Now, there's a little weirdness of us being adult men talking about another adult man's Snapchat. This
whole podcast is very weird.
but that being said, man, I can't help but read so many and just see so many of these. And now I genuinely dread whenever I see a new Michael Porter Jr. Snapchat update. Like, I'm like, okay, buckle in.
All you wind.
Nobody wants this. Was this an off limits topic?
So I will come to MPJ's defense. I got in a car crash before I was 22.
Getting in a car crash is not the, yeah, it was not the, not the point.
I don't see any problem with this. See any problem with this, that he decided to share that life experience on a very public social media platform. I don't have any problem with that.
Look at Harrison Wind. I need him as my PR agent.
Everybody gets in car crashes. It happens.
Yeah, what are you, as an attorney? What is this?
What's going on?
Yeah. I would... You know, I don't know if he was in his Tesla. I don't know if the self-driving feature was on or if it was off.
Yeah, maybe throw that back on, Michael.
Yeah. But everybody gets in car crashes. This happens.
Harrison is right. I have been I drive Lyft and I drove Postmates in LA and I was a PA. So like I've been rear-ended. I've done the rear-ending. I have never done then gone straight to Snapchat to let everyone know. I do think if you do connect the dots, there is like a, this guy, I don't know if he has a PR guy, but maybe he should get one. Cause he's going to say what comes to his mind, which, you know, I think bothers more people than others, but,
it's just the pretty good for being 22 part. That's just, if you ask me, it's just like, okay, that's a, That's just a weird thing to say. The context of when, again, we don't know anything else about it. I'm only pointing this out because we have to officially make the comment that Michael Porter has a very weird social presence. And I would say it's, for me, mildly concerning is I guess how I would put it. Not like worried. I'm just, you know.
I don't think we've seen the last of his Q&As, you know. There's just going to be more.
That's true. If you have an inbox, you get the notification on your phone that says Michael Porter is live doing AMA. Your first instinct is not oh, how interesting. It's oh God. but another social media thing here, Nikola Jokic, we knew that this was happening. We don't ever want to go full TMZ. So we all kind of knew this was happening this weekend, but we didn't want to hype it up for people be sitting outside of Sombor, Serbia with binoculars. But he got married this weekend. It's a big life event for him. We knew it was coming. I don't know. I think it's really cool. I actually am really excited about this, in part because, you know, I won't want to say gotten to know his girlfriend, but she's around. We talked to her in passing and, you know, from time to time. Incredibly nice. Really, really and it's just cool. It seems like a genuinely cool moment that Nikola Jokic got to tie the knot. And from the pictures that we saw, there was almost a muted version of the tree dance. There was a little bit of a chair dance from you. I don't know if you guys saw this, but at one point he does get on a chair and do a little boogie. So congrats to Jokic. What do you guys have a wedding take here?
I love it. Big congrats. You're right. Natalia, his girlfriend, now wife. Very nice, very sweet girl when we've interacted with her at Pepsi Center. Now, you know, the wedding stress for Nikola is over. I'm sure he was writing out invitations while sitting in his hotel room in the bubble. So he doesn't have to worry about those stresses anymore. Congrats. It seemed like a great wedding. I like the fog machine.
Yeah, yeah.
Fog machine during the first dance was an interesting touch. I haven't seen that one before. It added a nice element.
The vibes are immaculate in that video, man. You got to be happy for the big guy if you're a Denver Nuggets fan. These guys, they're all generously compensated for their troubles, but I think the best player of an organization has a lot to give. The responsibility is not small, and Jokic has been vocal in the past about the way that can sort of grate on him. It's not his personality type, and there's a lot of pressure on him, and to see him just sort of, everyone's having a rough year, and Jokic got to have one of the best moments of his life, presumably, and so that's just nice. Glad to see him be able to enjoy that offseason. Glad to see him smile. And look, a good Jokic, a happy Jokic is good news for Nuggets fans, you know?
That's a good point. You brought up something interesting, though, because, yeah, he's a $160 million guy. And I'm not – that wedding, he's just so down to earth. You know, you sometimes see some of these athlete weddings and there's, helicopters coming in and, a giraffe and all this. Yeah. It looked like a regular wedding. And I mean that in a good way. It just looked like a regular – down-to-earth wedding, which is, I guess, what else would be expected from Jokic. There was nothing too crazy. So congrats to him. Shouts to him. Do you think this makes him a better player? No, I'm just kidding.
I do. I'll tell you.
Really?
Yeah.
You think now Jokic is now better? Married Jokic better
than
Jokic?
Chances of, I know it won't literally be the month of, I guess, December. Our chances of a November happening again are smaller because the big fella's happy.
Well, there you go. It would have been great. Maybe I wish the season started on December 15th. That might have been the best omen. I guess we'll take the winter solstice, but December 15th would have been pretty good. All right, that's it for us today, guys. We're going to be back all week with brand new shows, probably going live at the end of the week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday this week. So we're going to have some live shows, but we'll have five podcasts for you to download Monday through Friday. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new episode.
Yeah, before we get out of here, guys, check out MSU Denver Online if you're looking to go back to school, if you're a first-time freshman looking to finish up your sophomore year, your junior year, maybe you're looking to go back to get a second degree. MSU Denver Online is an awesome option. They have perfected the art of online education. They've been doing it forever, so they are very well prepared for this new day and age. Check out their entire course list online, msudenver.edu/online. I took a class there this past summer. So did our Ali Monroy.
Awesome. Straight A's. That's what I heard.
Great teachers. Did better in that class on average than I did during my undergrad. So
there you go.
check out their entire course list, msudenver.edu/online.